We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
CVS's legacy, our history as a company, actually is to be a convenience location for our consumer. We call it, we're on the corner of Main on Main in almost every town in America. 85% of customers in this country live within 5 miles of a CVS location.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, we have a great program for you. We're speaking with Kevin Hurrican, who is the president of CVS Pharmacy. Kevin oversees all aspects of the company's retail business, including its nearly 9,800 retail stores, 20 distribution centers, as well as merchandising, supply chain, marketing, real estate, front store, and pharmacy operations. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Why are you good?
Oh, I'm excited about this conversation.
I'm excited about this conversation, too. I mean, when we're talking to somebody that has that amount of responsibility, Kevin, thank you for making time.
Bill, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm shocked you have any time. I mean, with all of that responsibility, that's absolutely fantastic.
We all have busy jobs. And
well, you have a really busy job.
I mean, that kind of got me tired. So tell me, how did you get to where you are today? Now, I know that you've had some past retail experience leading into this responsibility. What is that?
Yeah, good. So I've grown up in retail, spent two decades in the retail business. I actually started as a supply chain executive. I have a master's degree in supply chain and started in the department store industry. I worked for two retailers. I worked for Sears for more than 10 years, and I worked for Macy's for 7 years. Two
very
great
good
companies, iconic brands in their own right. Learned a lot at both of them, hopefully contributed an added value. And the lessons I've learned in those two environments, I bring with me to the job that I'm in today. And that's about helping serve our customers in a more compelling way and bring innovative new products and services to our customers. And we work very hard to do that.
Well, you know, one of the greatest challenges I think that exists out there is meeting the changing consumer needs, demands, thoughts, expectations. And in your business, because I mean, that's a high volume business. How do you, I'm sure that there's, teams of people that always are looking forward,
right,
but today, how are you doing that at CVS?
Sure. Our retail business has two large businesses within CVS retail. We have a roughly $60 billion pharmacy business and a roughly $20 billion, what we call front store business, which is everything in the CVS that you know that isn't the pharmacy in the back. And we have merchant teams and innovation teams working on transforming both of those large businesses, and as I mentioned earlier, to help better serve our customers. We believe that's our responsibility. The purpose of our company is to help people on their path to better health. And we believe the products that we have in the front of our store, and most importantly, the pharmacy in the back, can do just that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment.
Tell me a little bit about how you've seen customer expectations change through the three retailers that you've worked for.
Yeah, there's been an enormous amount of change, and I can kind of share some highlights and insights from each of the two terrific retailers that I worked for previously, and then the pace of change that we're working with today is rapidly increasing, and I think everyone knows that. But at Sears, great company, iconic brands, Kenmore, Craftsman, Die Hard, these are household names known throughout the world, reputable, high quality, great prices. What happened at that industry, within that industry and at that company, and you all know this, but category killers started coming out of the woodwork, competing with them for the businesses that they were in. At the time, Sears Roebuck has number one market share in the world in 9 businesses. Everybody knows home appliances, but they also were number one in home electronics and home improvement and fitness equipment and lawn and garden, on and on, household names. Along comes Best Buy, along comes Bed Bath & Beyond, along comes Home Depot, along comes Lowe's, Inc. Each of those companies was narrowly focused on a discrete customer and really did a terrific job of solving the needs of that customer. Use one example, Home Depot. They solve the needs of a person who needs help fixing something in their home, that DIY person that we've all read about and know. And then they carried everything within that large store that you could possibly need to complete a project. So Sears at the time, great company, is unfortunately trying to serve 14 different businesses and kind of trying to do a little bit for everyone. And I think we've all learned when you try to do a little bit for everyone, you're probably not going to be great at anything. So category killers begin taking meaningful market share from the likes of Sears and JCPenney and other companies that are actually no longer in business. And after about 10 years with that company, I learned a lot. I went into the department store apparel business, Macy's, as I mentioned earlier. Great company with iconic brands of their own. It's a household name across the country. And fortunately, through an initiative called My Macy's, which was about localization of the Macy's product to match the demographics of the local area, Terry Lundgren is well known for that project. We were able to grow comp store sales on a multi-year basis and outpace the industry in growth. We know the end of this story. Along comes Amazon. And I remember sitting in many meetings where, pundits would say things like, people aren't going to buy apparel online. You want to be able to touch it. You want to be able to feel it. You want to be able to try it on. What's the fabrication feel like on your skin? And more importantly, does it fit? And I think we all know 20, 30% of apparel is being purchased online. And department store retailers are feeling that pinch in a very significant way. Fewer people going to the mall. Going to the mall means less traffic. Less traffic usually means less sales. And that industry is struggling mightily with reinventing itself. And there's smart people at those companies and they're working very, very hard, but they have a very significant challenge in front of them as the consumer is shifting online. And I'm happy to talk about CVS Health in more detail about the changes that we're seeing. And I can do that now or we can
I'd like to
answer
hear
another question.
I want to make an observation though. I mean, to the extent that it is amazing to me. And you think that your career in that short period of time, what you've seen, I mean, that's right. Not spanning 30 years.
That's about 20 plus years.
Yeah. But I mean, it
short
is
a period of time
in
grand
retail.
Scheme of things.
Yeah. It's just absolutely astounding. But what are y'all doing?
So as I mentioned, CVS Health's purpose is to help people on their path to better health. But we are seeing change in our space, accelerating at a very, very rapid rate from, new competitive entrants to changes in regulatory reform. And most importantly, frankly, changes in what consumers expect. And we work very hard to be able to be ahead of the needs of our consumers and solve problems that they have or remove friction that they have within the system. So I'll talk a little bit about a few of our innovations. CVS's legacy, our history as a company actually is to be a convenience location for our consumer. We call it, we're on the corner of Main on Main in almost every town in America. 85% of customers in this country live within 5 miles of a CVS location. So that was, past tense, the definition of convenience.
Or one block,
yes. I actually have 4 CVSs in the town that I live in. So we are very close to the consumer. We added drive-through locations to our pharmacies. And at the time, many people said, why would you want to do a drive-through? It's pretty easy to go into the store to pick up your medication. But drive-throughs became an important thing. And obviously, convenience is about now delivery to the home, in addition to being able to come into the store. And we are the first and only nationwide pharmacy operator that is delivering front store products and pharmacy products to the customer's home nationwide. We're the only ones that are doing it. We believe we need to be at the home faster and cheaper than anyone else. And obviously, there's others that are in this space as well. We have a competitive advantage in the fact that we have 10,000 locations in the consumer's home, call them mini fulfillment centers if you would like, but we're very close to the customer. And because of that, we can get the product that our customers want and need to them very, very quickly. The most important point, however, though, is that healthcare is local. People want to know their pharmacist. They want to be able to trust their pharmacist. And we believe the powerful combination that we bring is A, the convenience of how close we are, but more importantly, that relationship that the customer has with their pharmacist. So if they have a question, they can pick up the phone and call us. They can use our digital app to interact with us, or they can just come into the store and see us. And we do a lot of proactive messaging back out to the customers. That's one example of, we call it redefining convenience, being able to be available for them in our store when they need and also bringing it to their home in a very rapid way also.
All those innovations in hindsight seem not necessarily obvious, yep, but great. And everybody should be doing those. And as a customer, I appreciate that they are available. But before they exist, how are you driving your team to be innovating and disrupting itself? Sure. How are you identifying these customer needs to say, yeah, we are going to put in a drive-through, even though that's right, not something we've ever done before?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll first lean into the home delivery of pharmacy should seem easy and obvious. It's actually quite hard because of regulatory compliance, state regulations on what can be delivered, not delivered, third-party payer contracts on what you can and can't do. Cold chain, a lot of our medications actually are refrigerated or actually in a freezer, and controlled substances and things of that nature are, it adds a lot of complexity, but we've been able to resolve those complexity moments and enable home rapid delivery. But back to the question of how do we gain insights? The insights come from our customers. We'll do millions of consumer surveys every year and look for things of satisfaction and look for points of friction. And it's those points of friction that fuel our need to improve, our desire to improve. In addition to that, we have thousands of leaders who run our stores who are in stores every day talking to customers and talking to our technicians and our frontline colleagues, our pharmacy technicians and cashiers in our stores. And if you ask them questions, they give you a lot of really good feedback. So here's another example of innovation. In our pharmacy business, our country has changed meaningfully on the cost of medications. You most likely have read a lot about that. Medications are becoming more and more expensive. And as we visited stores, we asked our technicians and our pharmacists what we could do to help. And what we heard clearly was build a tool, build a system that allows me to navigate the healthcare system so that I can save our customers money. And it sounds obvious, like you said, Sarah, but there's nobody that's doing it. There's no one in retail pharmacy that has a software that allows the technician within a store to navigate the complexities of healthcare to save a customer money. And we have one. We built it. We call it the Pharmacy Savings Finder. It's proprietary. It's the only one of its kind. We want to be known as the pharmacy that does the most to help save patients money. So for instance, if you walk in and you provide a medication to us, one of our technicians, they will use this tool that we've built to navigate all the possible ways that you can save a customer money. And examples would be convert it to a 90-day supply. It's usually cheaper than a 30-day supply. Look to see if there's a generic available. Look to see if there's a therapeutic alternative that has a generic available so you're not paying an overpriced branded medication. Look to see proactively if there's a coupon. Sometimes the pharmacy manufacturers offer coupon payment assistance. Navigate, find them. There's hundreds of them that are available. Proactively do it for the customer. And if, in fact, their insurance isn't covering the medication, we will advocate for the customer to find alternate methods by which we can save them money. And we'll do this literally millions of times per year. On average, we will save our customers over $450 when we do this work for them. So that's a car payment. That's a house payment. That's food on the table. And most importantly, if the consumer can afford to take their medication, they take their medication and they leave longer, healthier lives because of the fact that they're doing so. It's a second example of innovation that came from our colleagues within our stores.
You know, I've experienced that personally. I've gone into a CVS, I've given them my prescription, and they've come back and they've actually said, if we were to fill this for this, it would cost this, but if you can give us a day, we can get in store a generic, which would cost you substantially less. And I was so grateful because I would have paid it. Right. I mean, insurance would have paid it. I mean, it wasn't necessary. And it really creates a sense of loyalty where you feel like that store, that pharmacist is looking out for you and your best interest. So it's a wonderful program. So you've been in retail for a while, and it's very obvious. It's something we always talk about in this show quite a bit, and I probably mention it almost every single podcast, is passion. People in this business, in this industry, are passionate about what they do. And the longer they've been doing it, the more passionate they are about it. What are you passionate about, Kevin?
Yeah. So the reason I left the companies that I referenced earlier is that I wanted to work for a purpose-driven company. And I mentioned earlier the purpose of CVS Health is helping people on their path to better health. So there are a lot of great companies doing wonderful work, but the work we do literally saves lives. So that individual who takes their cholesterol medication because one of their pharmacists influenced them to do so, despite the fact that you don't feel any different if you take cholesterol medication, your body doesn't act differently, behave differently, you don't feel differently. So sometimes people stop taking it because of that. But if they stop taking it, their arteries harden, they'll have a heart attack, they're ending up in a hospital. Even worse, people pass away from not taking their medication. So my team, which is our retail pharmacy team, works extremely hard to ensure we educate consumers on when, where, and how to take their medication and do behavioral counseling of patients so that they understand the why behind it. And it's rewarding, fulfilling work. My mother was a nurse for 40 years, and I'm sure that deep down inside, this comes from a place of watching the good work that she did as a nurse and wanting to be a part of that. So that is what motivates me, is helping our company bring our purpose to life every day. And And then if I stepped back from that for a moment, it's, as we talked about a little bit already on your show, how do we bring new and improved consumer innovations to help our customers have a better experience with us, solve unmet needs, resolve issues that they're having with either products that they want and need and can't find, or something that they need that they don't even realize that they needed. And I'll use that as, you know, another example. We did research to indicate that the customers who are most sick in this country, some of them take more than 10 medications per day. And 50% of consumers are confused about when, where, or how to take their medications. That's research we've done. And when you combine those two things, more than half of consumers have some form of confusion about when, where, or how to take their medication. And a select portion of the population takes more than 10 medications. It's a big opportunity for people to not know what to do. So we invented a program. We call it Script Path. That's the name of the program, which is, hopefully you've seen it. If you go to a CVS and you fill a prescription, you'll see a very, very different patient label. It's iconography-based. It has a sun that's rising in the morning to say, take your medication in the morning, and a moon that's setting at the end of the day to inform, take your medication at night. A more clear, a more simple, and easier to understand tool to help people know when to take their medication. More importantly, we developed a proprietary tool to help slot the many medications someone can take into as few number of times per day for a patient. And we hand that customer a piece of paper and also in our digital app to help educate them when, where, or how to take their medication. Certain medications can be taken together. Others can't be taken together. Some with food, some not with food. Some you can take with grapefruit juice, some you can't. You know, these silly things that doctors tell you in their office, and it's like, remember the peanuts? And you don't understand what the doctor's saying because you're overwhelmed. Well, we want people to be clear, and we want people to understand, and we believe that our pharmacists in the local community and this tool that we've built called Script Path do a better job of that than anyone else.
You know, the other thing that CVS pharmacists do, I think, incredibly well is no matter how busy they are, if you have a question for them, they will take the time to come out from behind the counter, right, walk you over to the aisle, and help you make the right choice. I'm always concerned. I don't like taking medication. Mm. At all. Right. I don't even really like going to the doctor, but I don't say that very often, but people should go to the doctor.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I worry about medical interactions,
right,
and,
right,
and things of that sort. And so they always seem to take the time to explain to me,
right,
this is what you want to do, this is what you don't want to do, and if you have a problem, what you need to do is, you know, the following.
Right, right.
And so it's a, you know, that kind of customer-centric philosophy and business model obviously creates a level of loyalty among your customers,
right, right,
that... Well, if there's another pharmacy not too far away,
right,
there's no reason I would change.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And Bill, you mentioned a really important point that I'd like to emphasize. Omnichannel and rapid home delivery is incredibly important for the portion of consumers that desire, you know, that. It could be a mobility-challenged senior. It could be a millennial who has everything in their life delivered. But for the majority of people, let's call it the bell curve of America, having a relationship with a pharmacy professional they trust is a very important thing.
Yeah,
it could be an eye drop. Which one should I take? It could be a rash. Is this a serious thing or a not serious
right
thing? And we have MinuteClinic nurse practitioners in our store as well that can answer some of these questions and tell you, yes, you should see your doctor. That's not a rash. That could be melanoma. Or
yeah,
it's just a rash. Come on down here. Let me help you find the product that I would recommend. We believe that our pharmacists are some of the most trusted healthcare professionals in the industry. And one of the things that is an important responsibility of mine and my team is we need to make the job of being a pharmacist easier so that they can do more of what you experienced and what you described. So there's a lot of busy work that happens back behind the counter that we're using technology and robotics, for lack of a better term, to try to remove some of the physical tasks so that our pharmacists can be focused on what our CEO, who's a pharmacist, would say is operating at the top of their license, which would be counseling patients, helping answer questions, advising our patients on what to do and sometimes what not to do.
Sure.
So we need to make it easier for the work, and we're working very hard to do that.
To echo Bill, I was at a CVS. I've got little kids,
yeah,
and getting your kids to change Band-Aids,
yeah,
is awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to find what Band-Aid is going to make my kids scream at me the least,
right,
when I have to change the Band-Aid every day.
Yep.
And to Bill's point, the pharmacist came out and looked at all of them for me and
right,
said, pick
right
this one. But you're talking about how, from a kind of a technical, logistical perspective, you're making this possible. But we've talked about purpose and purposefulness. So I have to imagine that this is in the culture. How are you as a leader facilitating that kind of culture?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if I could just build on the mom experience just for a moment. We have over 1,000 Minute Clinics in our stores across the country. And I would respectfully submit that our Minute Clinic service is unbelievably helpful for, mom or dad who's home with sick child. It could be, 1 o'clock in the morning and that we've all been there. Child wakes up screaming and you don't know why, right? But you want help. So Minute Clinic is a wonderful way for anyone to be able to find out, is this serious? Is it an earache? Is there an infection? Is a prescription perhaps needed? And we've recently launched online Minute Clinic, which is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for mom or anyone else to be able to live through technology, speak with a nurse practitioner and more rapidly diagnose what might be wrong. And if a prescription is needed, you could have it sent to a 24-hour CVS location. We could even deliver it to your home. And our goal would be able to do that, all of it, in under an hour. And think about that night when your child has been screaming all night long and how different it might feel if they get started on an antibiotic sooner, faster. But your question of how do you create culture or how do you evolve a culture to be more purpose-driven is one that I literally think about every day, driving to work, driving home from work, working out, et cetera, because we have a very, very large organization. We have 185,000 people that work within our retail organization, and they are very customer-focused. What we're working on is being even more purpose-driven in our service offering. So you can ask someone to be friendly. You can ask someone to be heads up from your counter and greet someone as they walk down the aisle, or you can motivate them through the power of purpose, extending lives, helping people on their path to better health. And we found that the want to is substantially higher when they understand the purpose. So one of the challenges that we have, just being completely honest, is how do you cascade that message down to 185,000 people? And we just had all of our field leaders together at a conference last week, and we showed them some pretty inspiring videos of heroic moments from our colleagues. And that's one way. Show them what great looks like. Show them what great experiences feel like. And motivate our team that we should and can be doing this every day. And what we're working on is now how do we get that cascaded down all the way into every process that we have, from how we hire people, who we hire, what we look for in candidates, who we promote, why we promote them. All of these little micro decisions actually are what establishes a culture. If the person who just got promoted was the most genuine in their caring versus the most productive, that sends a message to everyone in the store. And it's a journey. We're not arrived at that journey. I think it's something that if you talk with me 10 years from now, I'll probably still be talking about the need to progress down that journey. But we're proud of the work. We're inspired by it. And we take the responsibility very seriously to advance this concept of purpose-driven service.
Well, part of that process is leading by example and being a true leader within your organization. And it's very, very obvious, Kevin, that you have that passion. And it's if your people believe in you and they believe in what you believe, you've gotten a really good head start on developing a culture that's going to really last a long time and create a big difference in the organization. So we're running close on time. We have this little section of our podcast, and it's called Rapid Fire. Now, this is easy.
Okay.
We're going to ask you a question, yep, and you're just going to say the first thing that comes to mind. There's no wrong answers.
I feel like I'm about to be quizzed and tested and graded back in school.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC. Well, let's get it started. Sarah?
If you couldn't be in retail, what would you do?
That one's easy. I love to teach and I love to coach. So if I weren't in retail, I'd be doing some form of, could be high school, could be college. And I love sports. And so I'd be a professor and a coach, is what I would be doing if I weren't in retail. But no, those skills and those traits are what we do every day in teaching and coaching the people that work for us.
What's your favorite comfort food?
Comfort food. I'm from the Northeast, but we love the Charleston, South Carolina area. So I'll go with macaroni and cheese made the right way and low country, as they call it, of South Carolina. That would be my favorite comfort food.
I'll let you go on the Charleston thing, but I'm from Savannah. So I'm just going to say that while I always tell people that Charleston is the crown, Savannah's the jewel. So come on down to Savannah sometime. We'll give you some real good mac and cheese.
All right, very good.
What KPI do you check every day?
Well, we talked about it throughout this, but our service scores and how we're doing on that journey of service transformation that we talked about. So, of course, we look at sales and we look at, you know, the top line of our business, but every day. The first thing I look at actually is I mentioned millions of customer service feedback that we receive every day, and that's the first thing I do. And I look for good things, and I can recognize our field and fire out. We have a wonderful tool that allows us to actually recognize the discrete colleague who did a great job. And if I see a great piece of feedback from a customer, we can fire it directly to the colleague and recognize their manager as
well.
It's a lot of fun.
I want to do that.
It's a lot of fun.
All right, this is the last question. What's the one thing that's always in your refrigerator?
I'm going to be really boring and say milk.
I
love cereal.
Milk.
And I love cereal. So it's I've been traveling all week. I travel way too much, and you have these big breakfasts when you're on the road. And every once in a while, it's just great to have a bowl of cereal.
I cannot tell you how many people just today, and we've done a lot of episodes today, have said milk. And I don't think anybody ever said that before today.
Today was the first
day. And we've gotten it four times. But no, it's not boring. It's healthy.
Well, mine was about cereal. And you can't have cereal without milk.
Okay, so what's your favorite cereal?
I'm going to be boring times too. I'm a cornflakes guy with banana and strawberries. That would be my ideal breakfast.
Well, Kevin, if people want to learn more about CVS Pharmacy and CVS as a company, where would they go online?
Yeah, so just obviously we have a website that talks a lot about what we do, and we'd ask anyone to research. And you know, when we exited tobacco from our stores, which is now a few years ago, the amount of consumer interest and public interest in our company meaningfully changed, and it's an exciting, fun place to work. It's an exciting journey that we're on helping create the best healthcare company in America. And we'd welcome anyone to check us out and do some research, and we hope to hear from them.
I want to, just since you mentioned it before we sign off, I do want to say that your decision to take tobacco products out of your stores was very, very brave and very, very helpful. As a former smoker, when you got rid of that, it was not easy. I wasn't going to walk any more than that block. I used to be able to walk to the CVS to buy a pack of cigarettes, so I quit.
Well, we appreciate it. Wow.
So thank you. Sarah, thank you for co-hosting another
episode.
It was great. And Kevin, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to spend time telling us about what you're doing at CVS and what CVS is doing in the communities that they serve. Fantastic.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you having me today.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed here today on our website, retailgetsreal.com. where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. If you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your colleagues about the show or give us a rating on your podcast app. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.